Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 14th day of August, 2024. Before I introduce to you my guest and co-host for the day and our topic, I just want to remind all men in ministry leadership that you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon on Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. We are featuring for the very first time our keynote speaker, Dr. Joe Boot, who is an author, conference speaker, and the founder and president of the Ezra Institute. And not only is your registration and admission absolutely free, and your time of hearing what will no doubt be a powerful and edifying message from Dr. Boot free, and your time of rest, relaxation, refreshment, fun, feasting, and fellowship all free, on top of all that, everybody in attendance receives a free, heavy sack of brand new books, personally selected by me, and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. Everything is always free of charge at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheons, and nothing is ever for sale there. There is never any hidden agenda or ulterior motive, and that was the under the strict orders of my precious late wife, Julie, whose brainchild these pastors' luncheons are. And we began doing them in the 1990s, and I have continued doing them after her homegoing to eternity with Christ. I continue to do them in loving memory of her and in tribute to her. So if you are a man of ministry leadership and you're able to make it to Perry County, Pennsylvania, to Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, to be more specific, on Thursday, October 10th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., to hear Dr. Joe Boot, please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and give me your name, the name of your church or ministry and its location, and the number of men who will be accompanying you to this event. And if they are from a different church or parachurch ministry, please mention all of those churches and parachurch organizations. And that will be your automatic free registration, and I hope to see as many of you there as possible. Well, I'm excited to be conducting part three of an interview that we began a couple of weeks ago. This is the third and final interview that we are conducting on the theme Political Engagement in Light of the Lordship of Christ, and this is being conducted in part to promote an upcoming Bible conference featuring my guest today and my co-host. And I am delighted to have, first of all, my returning co-host, who is Levi Secord, and he is founding pastor of Christ Bible Church of Roseville, Minnesota. It's great to have you back on the program serving as my co-host, brother.
It's great to be back.
And this time around, our guest today, who is a first-time guest on Iron Sharpened Zion Radio, is Dr. Ardell Kanadeh, professor of New Testament Studies and Greek, retired, at the University of Northwestern in St. Paul, Minnesota. He is an author, and he's a teaching elder at Christ Bible Church of Roseville, Minnesota, and board member of the new website, ChristOverAll.com. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Ardell Kanadeh.
Thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate the opportunity. It's great to be here.
Well, let me go back to my co-host today, Levi Secord. Please tell our listeners who did not hear the previous two interviews that we've conducted on this subject, tell our listeners about Christ Bible Church of Roseville, Minnesota.
We are a church that began in February of 2021 out of some like-minded churches here in the area. We exist to glorify God by bringing all of Christ into all of life. The Lord has been incredibly kind and gracious to us over the last 3.5 years. And we are a growing congregation in more than one way. And we are incredibly grateful for all the mercies of God and that to be able to bring in men like Brad Green and Steve Wellum from Southern Seminary and Christ Overall and then Ardell. And we had the honor to bring in Virgil Walker and Daryl Harrison a few years ago as well. Looks like we might be bringing in some other gentlemen in a year or two as well. That the Lord's been great and kind to us. We seek to engage every facet of life, to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here with this conference, by touching on an area of life that the church has been told by those both inside it and out of it that we can't talk about. But if you read your Bible, you realize that that's not true. And so we're going to try to provide some shepherding in this most urgent area of life in our current cultural chaos.
And Christ Bible Church is a church dedicated to the doctrines of sovereign grace, correct?
Correct. And you're Baptistic and Calvinistic.
Amen. Just as am I. And tell us about this conference in more detail that's coming up on September 20th and the 21st.
Yeah, so we've noticed, not only in the culture but within the church, this raging debate as to what is the proper Christian view of political engagement, Christian view of church-state relationships, Christian view of moral and civil law and biblical law. And we thought that some of the discussion has been helpful, some of it has been not as helpful. And particularly from the Baptist side, I think some of my Baptist brothers who I love aren't thinking about this well biblically. And so we wanted to offer a distinctly biblical and Baptist perspective on what does it look like, church-state relationship, Christian view of the state, et cetera. And Steve Wellum, Brad Green, Ardell are all parts of Christ Overall. I occasionally write for them as well. And so we kind of want to apply that framework that Christ Overall is doing, that Christ is indeed over everything, and apply it to this area of life in a focused conference during an election year where lots of people are asking lots of questions.
Well, if you want more information on Christ Bible Church in Roseville, Minnesota, and the upcoming conference, September 20th and 21st, go to ChristBible.net, ChristBible.net, and we will be repeating that, God willing, later on in the program. Well, Ardell, as you know, on Iron Sharpened Zion Radio, we have a tradition. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony that would include the kind of religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and the kinds of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And we would love to hear your story.
Well, the Lord delivered me from a vile life of sinfulness, not by conversion in later life, but by putting me into a Christian family from birth. I never knew a day in my life that I did not hear the gospel and believe the gospel. Whatever that does to one's theology, I was converted very early. I do not remember not believing in Jesus Christ and seeking to obey him. And for that, I'm very grateful that my parents were Christians and that they brought me up in the gospel, reading the scriptures every day. In fact, when I was a young boy, up through about my 12th year, maybe the 13th year, we read the scriptures morning and evening as a family. So we went through the scriptures, the whole Bible, more than once every year, probably once, 1.5 times through every year. So I knew the scriptures very well, and I could win games very easily at Bible trivia. But unfortunately, I didn't have a very adequate comprehension of how the Bible hangs together in terms of the biblical storyline. And so I did not really acquire that until post-Bible college. And I went on to do biblical studies in a Grace Theological Seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana. And there I began to get a very much, much more of a holistic worldview understanding of the scriptures, the storyline from Genesis, creation to new creation, reaching through the book of Revelation. And so I have made a career then in the ministry of the gospel. Since my seminary days, I did an internship, and kind of an extended ministerial internship, putting to use my skills as a woodworker. So I, as a matter of fact, I made a better living as a woodworker than I ever have since. But since then, I have taught at various institutions in visiting professorships. But from 1992 onward, I have taught at University of Northwestern here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and have taught any number of courses, but my main focus has been New Testament and Greek. I did my doctoral studies under Doug Moo at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, studied under him, Murray Harris, Donald Carson, and others of great renown, and benefited immensely from those studies. But it was, I would say, my ministry in church that really enhanced my capability as a teacher in the classroom, so that my ministry in the classroom has always been that of a minister of the gospel. So I saw a number of conversions during my years of teaching at Northwestern, as well as significant growth. I didn't have the privilege of teaching Levi, but I knew of Levi at when he was a student at Northwestern. But I'm very grateful for my upbringing. I was delivered and spared from so much sin that it's enriched me immensely, having grown up in a Christian family, and my faith is deeply rooted in my parents' faith and in the faith of many in my family, my grandfather, my grandmother, and others as well. But that gives you an overview of my upbringing and where I am today.
Well, I had the privilege of hearing Dr. Moo preach a couple of times here in Pennsylvania at a Bible conference years ago, the John Bunyan Conference. And I look forward to having him on the program. And you have just reminded me, actually, to get a hold of him and try to get him on the program. I remember being very blessed hearing him speak. And I hope to have him back on the show, or have him on the show, I should say, for the first time.
Good.
When did you come to discover the doctrines of grace in this journey of yours as a Christian?
It was during my first year as an MDiv student at Grace Theological Seminary. And there were a number of resources that helped me. Ironically, one of the sources that helped me was reading a little book by John R. Rice, with the title Predestined for Hell? No. The reasoning and argument of that book was so bad that it compelled me to recognize that Scripture in fact does speak about and teach predestination. But a couple of other books that were very instrumental in shaping me early, one by J.I. Packer, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God.
Yeah.
A little book, but a wonderful book. And another one by J.C. Ryle, Holiness. Those two books I treasure immensely, and I will cling to those books until the day I die.
Amen. Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address if you have questions for our guest today, Ardell Kennedy, on political engagement. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Well, I know that your theme at the upcoming conference is on biblical law, and if you could perhaps break down in more detail how this is going to apply to the conversation of political engagement in light of the Lordship of Christ.
Biblical law is a massive subject, and there is a lot. There are a lot of rabbit trails one could take, and there are a lot of elements that might introduce confusion. The word that is translated into our English Bibles, law, has within the Greek New Testament as well as the Hebrew Old Testament a variety of meanings. So, for example, law might be a reference to simply the scriptures. So the New Testament, Paul, Jesus, they both use law as a reference to scripture. Jesus frequently speaks of the law and the prophets, or the law and the prophets and the writings. Paul speaks the same way and sometimes speaks of simply the law. But that use of the word law is a reference to the scriptures, the whole Old Testament. But there are other uses of the word law as well that are rather important for us to recognize, because law simply refers on many occasions to the law of God, that is, referring to his character. At other times, it is simply referring to the Pentateuch, the law in terms of the first five books of Moses, or sometimes law, and frequently, particularly in Paul's letters, law refers to the Mosaic covenant, which has to be distinguished from the Pentateuch, and which has to be distinguished from the Pentateuch or the five books as scripture, so that the law is a reference to the covenant that God made with Moses. And this is a typical way that Paul uses the word law in his letter to the Galatians, for example. Sometimes the law is simply a reference to the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. Now, when we consider the biblical law or law as impinging upon us as citizens of a country that is not in a covenant with God, as Israel was, we need to be careful how we understand and how we bring it to bear upon our situation, our culture, and our citizens. But at the same time, we have to recognize and acknowledge that our nation was founded in such a way that the biblical law had a very significant grounding effect for the founding of this nation. And thus, we properly honor Moses at the Supreme Court of the United States. And we have throughout history, properly honored Moses in various courthouses throughout the land with postings of the Ten Commandments. And that, of course, is a controversy that is even brewing right now with various states, particularly Louisiana, calling for the Ten Commandments being posted in courthouses or also in various other places in schools. How do we bring all of this to bear upon us? And that's a big question, because the New Testament makes it very clear that the Old Covenant is passed away. And if the Old Covenant is the Mosaic Covenant that has to do with the law itself, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, which is a summation of that covenant, how are we to understand how we are then to relate to the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Covenant? How are we to understand ourselves as Christians, and how are we to understand ourselves as American citizens related to that? Is there any relationship? Are there any elements there that are instructive for us? That's what I will seek to unpack for us, without getting all entangled in some of the side discussions that might take us far afield from our objective. But that's generally what we're going to be seeking to do, is unpack how we're to understand biblical law and how biblical law bears upon us as a nation. Does it bear upon us? And if it does, how does it bear upon us? And we'll have to see how that is dealt with, particularly in the founding of our country.
And we're going to be entering into our first commercial break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, once again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Please only remain anonymous. If your question involves a personal and private matter, let's say it has something to do with the church where you're a member and you are not pleased with how your church is either involved or inactive in political engagement, there's something about the topic that displeases you in regard to your own church. That would be an understandable reason to remain anonymous, and there may be many others, and we'll grant your request if it's a personal and private matter. But please, if it's a general question, give us your first name, at least city and state and country residence. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com will enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace.
We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com, that's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, royaldiadem.com is not only automatically every month providing us with financial support. On top of that, their huge bonus to us is that RoyalDiadem.com is giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making their purchase of jewelry. Whether you're purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether you're purchasing jewelry that is already in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry created, whatever the case may be, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. Please go to royaldiadem.com today if you're interested in purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love. Even if you're not making the final purchase today, please go to royaldiadem.com today to get the ball rolling on that purchase and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to further ensure that we will get 100% of the profits of that sale. The reason for the urgency is we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners. So please go to royaldiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And once again, if you have any question for our guest today, Dr. Ardal Kanadeh, and we are discussing political engagement in light of the Lordship of Christ, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And before I go to a question from my co-host, Pastor Levi Secord, Dr. Kanadeh, what is perhaps the most common scenario that you have experienced, that you have witnessed, when people who have the same Bible that you do, people who can get an exact same understanding of God's law as you can glean from the scriptures through exegesis, and yet for some reason they are not approaching the subject of political engagement in the light of the Lordship of Christ the way you think a biblically faithful Christian should? What are these common errors you're seeing?
Whoa, there's so many ways that people differ on these matters. But one thing that stands out, for example, is taxation. Taxation is a form of confiscating wealth in one form or another, particularly income tax, and or redistribution of people's wealth. Confiscation, redistribution, people have vastly different responses to these issues, and many people have no response at all, or a very offensive response, or a rejecting response when challenged on this. So sure, there is a legitimate taxation that needs to fund government, but when we take money from one person and give it to another person, and the government is the agent that does that and does it very, very poorly, Scripture has something to say about that. Or another issue that is really at the top of the list today is sexuality and the notion that there are certain special rights that are being trampled on by Christians
with regard to those who are of a same-sex practice and orientation. Again, Scripture speaks very clearly to that. And we don't have to go to the Ten Commandments in order to understand that. We can recognize that from creation itself, the very design of God for humans. We're made in the image of God, male and female. He created them, and that's just the way it is. So those are a couple of examples, but there are many others that we could point to as well. But that probably suffices.
And Levi. Is Levi Secord there? I guess Levi...
We lost him.
That's strange. Well, we hope that Levi joins us. I'm not sure how that happened. The issue about this subject has sadly, like many issues in the body of Christ, has created very often more heat than light. It has caused Christians to cease having fellowship with their brothers and sisters over issues, over differences on political engagement. And don't we need to really always approach these issues with humility, as passionate as we may be and as vital as we believe our opinions are? Don't we have to be careful not to basically blow our testimonies and to be overly hostile or overly sectarian in regard to our understanding of this subject?
We certainly do. And I think that we can aid in doing that by recognizing that and helping people understand that there are already significant points of contact between people, between us and others, even those who have no regard whatsoever for the Scriptures, who are not Christians at all. There are significant elements of overlap and points of contact that we have with them. For example, we recognize that everybody lives in a seven-day week. Where did that come from? That seven-day week is not something that humans constructed. It's a God-ordained thing. And we need to recognize that and tap into that as a point of contact. And what happens with a seven-day week? Virtually everybody takes off at least one day a week and relaxes away from one's rest. And where did that come from? Well, that comes from not the Ten Commandments per se, but it comes right out of God's ordering of his creation from the very beginning. God himself did this. As a matter of fact, we don't work 24 hours a day. We work portions of days, and then we take time off, and we're imitating God. So everybody is imitating God to one degree or another, whether they acknowledge it or not. And the same people who are doing this are also imitating God in one way or another, without even if they don't acknowledge it, by way of personal property. And they have a proper sense that their personal property belongs to them and not another. So that when there is theft, theft isn't a socially constructed idea. Theft is a God-constructed idea. It's from the beginning. Personal property entails possession, and theft of that personal property is a sin. It's a sin that God himself has marked out. And so lying, and it's another observable thing, for example, that people tend to be monogamous. Even those who have divorced and remarried tend to be monogamous. Where did that idea come from? Where did the idea that a man and a woman who are married or cohabit together should be loyal to one another? Well, it's embedded in
in the created order itself. So that God has infused into his created order his own law. And it is that which we need to tease out and to recognize, so that when we live as citizens in this country or any country, we need to recognize that there is such a thing as law, and it is a God-ordained thing. And especially now in a year of election, we need to work at this and to help people understand that it is this embedded law into God's created order from which we ought to develop our policies, our political platforms. And when there is a political party that develops a platform that is markedly different from another, and that other political platform is very antithetical to God's ordered creation and the law that is embedded in that created order, such as heavy taxation, significant redistribution of wealth, easy on crime, prosecuting very rigorously Christians who, if they are violating the law, they're violating the law only because they are caring for example, the lives of infants in the wombs of mothers. And so, and being prosecuted for such crimes, we need to recognize that one party that has a platform that is defending the life of an infant, that is defending personal property and prosecuting and seeks to prosecute criminals and wickedness that is criminal, we need to recognize that there is a vast difference between these two parties, and it is that recognition is rooted in biblical law.
And we have been joined again by Pastor Levi. We thought he went off in a huff because he was insulted by something we said, but he's back.
Not quite. Internet went out.
Okay. Pastor Levi, you have a question for our brother?
Yeah, Ardell, we spoke a little bit about this on Sunday after church. Paul talks about the lawful use of the law in 1 Timothy 1. So it seems like in your categorization, you laid out at the beginning that this is speaking about moral law, right? And
yes.
Speaking about an application to evildoers, so that this is kind of outside of the covenant. So it seems to be a biblical text that is talking about the moral law or eternal law of God, however we want to phrase it, applied outside of a redemptive covenant. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's what Paul is talking about. Paul is not there in 1 Timothy 1, verse 8, speaking explicitly about the Mosaic covenant, the Ten Commandments. He's speaking about God's law, but God's law as it is revealed. And it is revealed and made known, and it can be used lawfully or unlawfully, because Paul speaks of this. He says, now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, that is for the righteous, but for the lawless, the unrighteous, the disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners. And then he lists a number, unholy, profane, those who strike fathers and mothers, murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice homosexuality, enslavers of fellow humans, liars, perjurers, and so forth. And so what Paul is speaking about there is that which is embedded in our very natures by way of the image of God. That is, God has instilled within every one of us a conscience and a knowledge of what is right and true and holy and good. But because of sin, humans run in the opposite direction, as Scripture makes very clear, and especially as Paul argues in Romans 1. And so what is the function of law? The law is a restrainer. It's intended to restrain. And I think that is what Paul is getting at.
Yes, make sure. I'm not sure what was happening there. You did get garbled for a few seconds, Dr. Kennedy. So make sure you always have your mouth near whatever microphone you're using. Are you both there? Just want to check. Levi?
I am.
And,
yep, I'm here.
Okay. We have a listener, Micah in Totavi, New Mexico. I'm assuming that's the way to pronounce it. Totavi. Micah wants to know, what is your opinions, and I will hear the answers from both your guest and your co-host, because they are both pastors, on Christians choosing the lesser of two evils when voting for a political candidate? And let's start with Ardell, and then we could have Pastor Levi chime in.
In most of life, when we're dealing with fellow humans who are sinners, especially those who are not particularly confessing Christians, we do deal with people who whose worldviews, whose belief systems are different from ours. And every candidate that I have voted for from my beginning, way back when I was 21 until now, every candidate that I have voted for, including those that I really loved quite dearly and actually have met some, every one of them I voted for, not because we agreed perfectly, but because there was much greater overlap in their worldviews and mine. And so it's always a truth that every time I have voted for the lesser of two evils. But I would put it more positively, I have always voted for those whose worldview and mine overlap significantly.
And Pastor Levi?
Yeah, I think this is one of those areas in which when how a person frames the question tells you what they already think the answer is. And so when we talk about the lesser of two evils, you're saying that I'm already linked into making an evil choice, and none of us as Christians want to make an evil choice. So I think it's a trap question. It's a trick question. It's not an honest question. It gets thrown out there all the time. Francis Schaeffer talked about not this in relation to voting, but in life in general, that if we demand perfection or nothing in this life, we will get nothing. He says nothing can be more cruel than demanding perfection from sinners, whether you're doing it as a spouse towards your spouse, a parent towards your children, a pastor towards your congregation, that if you insist on getting perfection or nothing, you're going to get nothing every time. As Christians, we don't believe in a utopia until Christ returns. And that, like, that things aren't going to be perfect until then. So we have to, as he says, live with the actual potential, real human potential that we have in front of us. And I agree with him on that. And so I think the better way to ask the question is not, can Christians choose the lesser of two evils? That's just not a fair question. The question is, which of the options is the most righteous choice for us to make? And I think when you frame the question that way, it's a more fair question, and then the answer becomes clear. If you're looking at the two political parties, one is far more righteous, though flawed, than the other. And as I've said elsewhere, there is not a single major policy position in which the Democrat leftism of our day is more righteous than the GOP alternative. Does the GOP need to become more righteous? 100 times amen, right? But between the two realistic options, one is far more righteous than the other. And every Christian, I think, has a duty to vote in accordance with that.
Okay, we have Greco in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. And Greco asks, can a Christian in good conscience and not committing sin refrain from voting altogether? And I'll throw in a question of my own, and we'll have Ardell start. I'll throw in an addition to his question, especially on occasions when the only two candidates that have a realistic choice of winning an election are absolutely horrendously anti-Christian in the platform in which they are candidating.
In such a situation, where the candidates are equally horrendous, I would say that a conscientious non-voting would be certainly a fitting vote. But generally, we don't have equally bad candidates. And I would make the case that we ought to be voting much more on platform and policy than we are on individuals. And so we need to assess the policies of these candidates very carefully and vote accordingly. And so in such situations where there is a candidate who is clearly on the side of things that are fundamentally against the order that God has established in his creation, life, freedom, and so forth, one has to conscientiously cast a ballot against that, and cast a ballot against that that is going to count maximally third party in national elections, for example, for president, are hardly very effective in going against such ungodly worldviews or policies. So I think we need to be prepared always to cast a ballot.
And Pastor Levi, we may have to break up your question in two parts because we're quickly approaching the midway break. Do you want to start answering the question or do you want to wait?
I can start. I think theoretically in our world, there could come a time where, yes, conscientiously, the righteous thing is to not vote. If you're voting, your two options are Hitler versus Stalin. Don't vote for either. I'm going to agree with Ardell on this. I don't think we're at that point. I don't think it's particularly close to that point. I would say that if today, if somebody says, I'm going to consciously, even though I'm able to vote, and I'm not going to out of protest, I think that's likely. I'm not talking about somebody who hard times falls on them, something unexpected happens. I think this idea that you're actually pious by not voting is a dereliction of duty because we are little governors in our form of government. And so we have an obligation with the authority delegated to us by our laws to use that authority to the best of our ability. And refusing to use it is a dereliction of duty.
Well, we have to go to our midway break. Please be patient with us, folks. The midway break is always a little longer than the other breaks. Please use this time wisely. Try to respond to as many of our advertisers as possible, keeping in mind that the finances that come through our advertisers is what keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. And don't forget to send in your questions to our guest, Dr. Ardell Kanaday, to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Please do not go away.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery. built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices, and now they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, visit solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Ardell Canaday, and my co-host today, Levi Secord, we have some important reminders. If you really love this show, folks, and you don't want it to go off the air, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, sending a physical check to a physical address from your post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm, a medical firm, maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And allow me to announce once again the wonderful news that we received from NASBible.com, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible, that they have renewed their advertising contract with us. And not only that, they are spending more money than they did the last time they renewed their contract. So thank you so much, Pike Lambeth, and everybody at NASBible.com for your loyalty to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Folks, also, please keep in mind when you're donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I never want anybody giving their own church where they're a member less money than they normally give their church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, please never cut into the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your church in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, financially. Please wait until you are back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. The Bible is very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is still God's money, by the way. We're primarily to use that money to provide for our church and our family. And providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you do love this show and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you love the show and don't want it to disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Christ Bible Church in Roseville, Minnesota, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in all parts of the world find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. So no matter where you live in the world, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful church family, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in your questions to Dr. Ardell Kennedy on political engagement in light of the Lordship of Christ. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And by the way, Pastor Levi, I wanted to announce to our listeners that you're going to be returning as the guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on Tuesday, the 27th of August, which is coming up in 2 weeks. If you could, let our listeners know what you have in store for them.
Well, you've asked me to talk about my article for World Opinions online about Tim Walz as the governor here in Minnesota and what we can expect from an administration informed by him.
Great. Well, mark your calendars, folks, when Pastor Levi Secord will be on the show as the guest Tuesday, the 27th of August, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I have you ask a question of your own, Pastor Levi, we have a listener named Michael in Wisconsin. And Michael, if you're still listening, please shoot me an email with the city in Wisconsin that you're writing from. Michael has two questions. Number one, and we'll have Ardell start. What is your opinion on the statement, worldview is more important than theological accuracy? Well, I think that may be slightly off the topic, but if you could, Ardell, explain or answer that.
Well, worldview is more important than doctrinal accuracy. The two, of course, are inseparable. Worldview comes out of a proper reading of the scriptures. However, I would make the case that there are significant overlaps between and among us as Christians. Though we do have various disagreements doctrinally, I think of a dear brother that is a good friend of mine, Robert Gagnon. He and I are not on the same page doctrinally with regard to Calvinism, but I know of no one who is more courageous and clear on issues of today, particularly on the issue of same-sex relationships.
Yes.
He is a dear brother.
It cost him his career, his courageous stance against homosexuality, because he was a professor at a PCUSA seminary and got expelled or fired because of his view.
That's correct. So we find significant agreement across the spectrum doctrinally, and we have to acknowledge that don't we, I think, have to acknowledge ourselves that we often believe better than we speak concerning our beliefs? And I'm of such a position that I think that we have to be generous wherein we may doctrinally disagree, but in large measure we have agreements. We need to capitalize on those. And for example, another point that I have many friends who are Presbyterians and I'm a Baptist, but the issue of water, the issue of paedobaptism or credobaptism does not separate us when it comes to matters of worldview issues that touch very significantly upon the political life of our nation. And the same thing is true with Roman Catholics. I have friends who are Roman Catholics who are significant individuals with regard to speaking against and standing firmly with regard to right to life and marriage and so forth. And our agreements are so important that, yes, we have doctrinal disagreements, but we can discuss those, but wherein we have these larger, much more worldview bearings upon our political, cultural, social lives, I think we need to cooperate and work together and assist one another in moving forward in advancing the cause of the gospel. And then we can have those discussions along the sideline.
And Pastor Levi, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I think I would largely echo what Ardell is saying here, and that makes sense because we started the church together. A worldview flows from doctrine. Really, if you're thinking right about worldview, worldview is just Christian theology and Christian doctrine applied to all of life. So you can't draw too much of a line from it. But I think what the listener is asking is, I think what he means by this is cultural engagement, or how we're understanding the culture is becoming more important than necessarily agreeing on all second and third tier doctrines. And in that vein, I'm very, very sympathetic to that, and Ardell's getting on at that as well, is there are people who I agree with on believer's baptism, who I agree with on Calvinism, who have seemed to jump the shark on cultural issues, who have to varying degrees swallowed different forms of critical theory. And the problem with critical theory is that it's intentionally designed to deconstruct, and it's intentionally designed to have Christianity as one of the main things it's seeking to deconstruct. So I fear not so much for a lot of those brothers today, but I fear those who will follow in their footsteps in a generation or two. We've seen this happen so many times with theological liberalism that as the consequence of their ideas works itself out, the apostasy eventually comes. And so I do think that there's a kernel in truth of what this individual is asking us about, is that if somebody is compromising on these cultural things and isn't seeing them rightly, it's probably because they have some deficiencies in their doctrine, and they've also become synchronistic with some brand of deconstructionism and critical theory, and that will bring death to the church.
Yeah, and he, our listener Michael in Wisconsin, seems to clarify the first question by the second question. Many strong gospel-preaching churches that are Calvinistic and Baptistic focus heavily on theology but rarely engage with culture and politics or think about developing a Christian worldview for their members. Why do you think this is the case? And Ardell, if you'd care to comment.
Whoa, that's a big question. And it gets to motives. But generally, I would say this, that we, for example, at Christ Bible Church, planted the church with a deliberate intention of engaging the culture, critiquing the culture, and applying the scriptures weekly as the text presents itself and as a text warrants it. And I think that the fundamental problem that we are encountering is that, and the one that Levi and I and our elders have had to overcome, and that is fear of being opposed. we all have a desire to be liked, and we live in a social media world that capitalizes on being liked. But we need to put to death our cravings to be liked, and we need to stand fully and firmly in obedience to Christ, and wherein the gospel compels us to address the things in the larger culture, we need to do so. So I think that the real fundamental issue is that we need to put to death the craving to be liked and to be applauded.
Okay, any final additions yourself, Levi?
Yeah, I think a lot of this has to do with pastors have largely been trained in their seminaries and in Bible college to not do worldview formation, to not take the step outside of the family and the church and apply the clear teaching of scriptures to larger things. This was what much of Francis Schaeffer's work was about. And then also Nancy Piercy, she calls it a secular sacred divide. We have this upper story and lower story, and we keep the church in the upper story of the private experiential reality, the lower story of facts. We have science and government down there and culture, and we don't want to engage in that because we've got this fundamental dichotomy between how we think about the Christian faith in life. And so we partition off the Christianity from the lower sphere of life. And as Piercy points out, this is undeniably not what the Protestant Reformation wanted. This is undeniably the exact opposite of what the Protestant Reformation was all about. We want to bring all of life under the authority of God and His Word. And so we have to, I think, attack that privatization of the faith that is only private and kill it with extreme prejudice.
And before I go to another listener, Burgess in Bloomington, Minnesota, do you have a question of your own for Dr. Ardell, Pastor Levi?
Do I? I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't either, no.
Okay, by the way, Michael in Wisconsin, if you are a first-time listener, or should I say first-time questioner, please give us your full mailing address because you have won a free, brand-new New American Standard Bible, compliments of our friends at nasbible.com, and it will be shipped out to you by our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. And that goes for anybody listening who is a first-time questioner. Burgess in Bloomington, Minnesota asks, very often, very godly men and women will say they have a hard time voting for a political candidate, even if he is clearly by far the better of two choices and his platform most closely aligns to the Christian faith, because of the individual's immoral life and beliefs in other areas outside of the political arena. Can a person vote for someone in such a condition? And I guess what they mean by should a Christian, I'm assuming Burgess means should a Christian vote for somebody like that who may be in a moral slob, but they're pro-life, at least they are opposed to abortion, at least in most cases. I mean, I wish, for instance, Donald Trump was against all murder of unborn children, and I hate the fact that he has been influenced by Sean Hannity and other people who are terrified of Republicans being too strong against abortion because he is only looking at the winning or losing of an election. But, you know, how do you handle a situation like that and remain an Orthodox Christian? And Ardell, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I would remind everybody that it is only within the last generation or so that we have really gotten access to the private lives of candidates, other than those occasional or incidental exposures of their private lives. And it's largely due to the fact that we have internet. And so people are becoming much more knowledgeable and aware of these things. But candidates for office throughout the history of the United States, for example, many of them have been engaged in immoralities, drunkenness, things like this. And so people were voting for candidates based on policies with the assumption that these candidates are reasonably decent individuals. And so it continues to this day. I remember back in 1980 when President Ronald Reagan was elected. He was the first man elected to the presidency who was divorced and remarried. Did that cause me to be hesitant to vote for him? No, because of his policies, his worldview. That's my concern. I think that we need to become policy-oriented individuals and recognize that then how did these individuals in their lower offices function with regard to the policies that they are now advocating? Did they do well or did they not? And it's a no-brainer, and as far as I'm concerned, President Trump has already proved himself with 4 years of policy making and presiding over his policies that shows that he is reasonably a trustworthy individual. And so is he perfect? No. But I'm not voting for a pastor. I'm voting for policies. I'm voting for policies that I believe are necessary to sustain this republic. So I think we need to deal rather clearly with that issue, that it's policies that should govern our ballot casting.
And in reference to Donald Trump, he is certainly not guilty of what most leftists are accusing him of.
Exactly.
Correct.
And on top of that, some of the things he's being accused of, I wish he was guilty of, quote-unquote guilty. For instance, I am reminded every time these leftists, not only who are political figures, but who are pundits in the media or hosts of left-wing radio programs or television programs, I'm reminded that most of the time when they are hurling vicious, nasty accusations, anger-fueled accusations against Trump, they're really hurling them at Christians. Because, like, for instance, they will say things like, we can't vote for Trump because he wants to bring an end to abortion for any and all reasons. Well, I want that to happen, but Trump doesn't. You know, we can't have Trump in the White House because he's homophobic. He is against homosexuals. No, he's not. I wish he was. We could go on and on like that. He agrees.
Chris,
Go ahead.
Yeah, what you got to realize is that they're trying to manipulate you with this argument. They want to use your good Christian morals as a tool to advance their immorality.
Yes.
Like that's what they're doing so that they can get you to stay at home so that they can do evil. As they know, as well as anybody else who's been paying attention knows, that the largest voting bloc that supported Trump were evangelicals. So they want to use your righteous morality as a tool to advance evil. And we can't let them do that. And again, Ardell's point is well made. We're not voting for a pastor. We're voting for a president. If you needed surgery and there was no Christian surgeon, would you not pick the best surgeon available? And even if there was a Christian surgeon and he was terrible at his job, wouldn't you still pick the unbeliever who was good at his job?
Amen.
Yeah, this is not a asking for who is going to come into your church and preach and shepherd your soul. We're looking for a person to fulfill a specific job. And in this vein, I want to make this point, going back to an earlier question. Donald Trump is not the only position on the ballot. Right? If you stay home because you don't like Donald Trump, that could have a cascading negative effect. For example, here in Burgess was at here in Minnesota, so he knows this. In the midterms, the Democrats took full control of all the branches of government here in Minnesota by one vote. And that one vote was about by, I think, 200 to 300 votes that suddenly got discovered overnight somehow. But it was a really close election. My good friend lost that seat in the Senate, and otherwise things would be different in the state. But they got that one seat majority because a lot of people stayed home, right? And they rammed through every radical thing that they could do. So even if you can't bring yourself to show up to the polls to vote for Donald Trump, I understand it, somewhat sympathetic towards it. You can vote still for the Senate and the House because there's a good chance that we can take the Senate this year because of the map or the House. And if we do that and Donald Trump isn't the president, a lot of evil can be mitigated. And when you're voting for House or Senate, an individual's character becomes far less important, in my opinion, because majority matters. Like, just adding to the tally matters. Whoever has the majority sets the agenda, gets the seats on the committees, etc. So the individual character of the person even becomes less important in the House and the Senate, because it's all about which party has the controlling numbers.
Okay, we have Quincy in Orange, New Jersey, who wants to know, how do you respond to critics of Christians who are very passionate and actively involved in politics because they are claiming and accusing those Christians of trying to accomplish God's glory on earth through the arm of the flesh? And Ardell, perhaps you could start.
Well, there are diverse evangelicals and diverse evangelical approaches to the political sphere. But it is rather wearying that individuals who hurl those kinds of accusations pick on particular individuals who are fringe and impute their flaws and their faults to all of us. Are there evangelicals who go about the political sphere in ways with which I disagree? Oh, yes, there are. But that does not mean that I should be silent. I believe, and what we're seeking to do at our conference is to lay down proper principles on which to act, both from the pulpit as well as from the pew, so that we do not become individuals that justify those kinds of accusations. We're not engaging in the kind of thing that is imputed to us, namely power politics. As a matter of fact, we're the ones who are objecting to the very principles on which those kinds of accusations are thrown at us. We're the ones who are against a Marxist kind of approach to politics, wherein certain individuals are given certain powerful rights over others. So I would say that we just need to be attentive to those kinds of accusations, but move on and ignore those kinds of things. There's an awful lot of projection that goes on in politics. I mean, the leftists, Kamala Harris's entire campaign is rooted in projection. That's what they do. They project onto Donald Trump, for example, the notion that he's going to be a dictator, and all kinds of things. Well, they're the ones who are locking people up in prison because of political differences.
Right.
Donald Trump isn't going to do that, and nor do we advocate for that. We're the ones who seek and advocate for freedom of speech. We don't want to lock up our political enemies. They do, and they do it right before our eyes. So I trust that gets after that question.
And Pastor Levi, any addition?
Yeah, I think it's a red herring. I mean, we're not actually trying to bring the glory of God through political realms. The Christians I know, what we want is the government to leave us alone, and that's entirely different.
Okay, yep. Let's see here. We have Davenport in South Jamesport, Long Island, New York. And Davenport says, should a pastor ever announce his preference of a candidate for political office to his congregation? Well, in some sense, you're doing that now on my show. Perhaps Davenport means from the pulpit. But in any case, is there a difference, though?
Well, the Johnson Amendment, I believe it was from 1954, has outlawed the ministers and various individuals of that such a capacity from endorsing from the pulpit a particular candidate. As a matter of fact, just today, I believe it was, that I saw a news announcement that there was a pastor who did just that, and he's now in trouble because he endorsed a candidate. But you don't have to endorse a candidate in order to make it very clear how you're going to be casting your ballot and how people ought to be casting their ballots. Again, if we're preaching the Word of God correctly, and if we're applying it properly to life situations and the issues that we face daily, it becomes rather evident to any reasonable person that there are certain policies, certain beliefs, certain notions and political ideas that are simply out of bounds for a Christian. And so we don't have to endorse. But on the other hand, I think that the Johnson Amendment from 1954 ought to be repealed and done away with. It's an intrusion, and it was deliberately and calculatedly done by Johnson, that is Lyndon Johnson, in order that he might win his seat without opposition.
Yeah, I don't think that amendment would survive close scrutiny from the United States Supreme Court if they'd actually take it up. I know that there's different Christian organizations trying to get them to do that, and I don't have to ask, but maybe I'm going to ask anyways, Ardell. Who did he endorse? I'm guessing it's not one of the times we've seen where a Democrat politician gets up in an African-American church during Sunday morning worship or whatnot.
No, it was not.
The IRS would never do that.
No. they get away with it quite regularly.
Yeah, that's a part of the leftist tradition. And yep. I'm not saying anything racist because it's just globally known that the black church at large has that as a part of their treasured tradition and custom to endorse candidates from pulpits and so on.
I don't think it's necessarily out of bounds for a pastor to do it from the pulpit. Just as I said, otherwise, like in this world, there could be situations where I think you'd be duty bound to. So again, if you're part of the faithful or confessing church in Nazi Germany and the election for Adolf Hitler's up, they should have said, don't vote for him.
Yes.
Right.
And so in world history, could there be a time where that happens? Yeah. Right.
And I guess I guess there is a difference. Perhaps it's just semantical. I don't know. There's a difference between saying anybody that votes for this particular person is in sin because of the things that this person is trying to establish into law that are an abomination in the sight of God. There's a difference between saying that and I believe that we, to be biblically faithful to our Lord, must vote for Bill Smith. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a difference there, but perhaps I'm wrong.
I think you're right. But one other thing that I think that Johnson Amendment, I think that amendment intimidates pastors into silence in every regard politically, so that they don't even want to come close to being arrested under that law.
I don't know if he can be arrested. Did they arrest the pastor? I think you'd just lose your tax exemption.
Well, yeah, I think that's the main thing. You lose your tax exemption. That's true. But yeah, I think that intimidates pastors so that they don't even come close.
And we have to go to our final break. Send us an email with your question if you want it asked on the air, because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with more of our conversation. So please do not go away.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism, titled Authentic Christianity, by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And don't forget, folks, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call my longtime dear friend Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Dan Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to remind our listeners that my former church, where I was a member before relocating to Pennsylvania, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, will be having their Courageous Marriage Conference on Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th. The conference will feature as their keynote speaker a Dr. Joe Rigney, who is an award-winning best-selling author. If you'd like to register for this conference, go to gracereformedbaptistchurch.org. GraceReformedBaptistChurch.org. We're now back with the final segment of our interview today with Dr. Ardell Kennedy and my co-host, who is Levi Secord of Christ Bible Church in Minnesota. And we just had a clarification from our friend Michael in Wisconsin. And he is from Cottage Grove, Wisconsin. Thanks for letting us know about that, Michael. We have Quigley in Canterbury, New Hampshire. One thing that puzzles me is why there are some churches that may be very solid in their theology, even Reformed Baptists and so on, that not only will not have voter guides available anywhere in the church, but they absolutely forbid them to be present in the building. How do you respond to this? And Ardell, you can start, and then we'll have Levi.
That puzzles me too. I don't understand that that notion, but on the other hand, I do have an understanding in that folks have separated, as Francis Schaeffer has argued, and as Levi has reminded us, they have separated things in the lower deck from the upper deck, and the upper deck is where they live their Christian lives and seek to stay away from all those things of the world as though it's contaminating. It's a very unfortunate notion, but it is a realistic notion that is occurring in many churches. It's what we would call pietism. It's the separation of Christian life from the world about. It's not a healthy separation at all. But Levi has a lot more to say about that, I'm sure.
Well, maybe not a lot more, but assuming that we have used in the past the Minnesota Family Council's voter guide, we will use it again this year. Assuming that it's like that, that it doesn't actually endorse a candidate, and that it just lists their policy positions, I want to make this crystal clear.
And a trustworthy source.
But I want to make this clear. As long as it's not endorsing a candidate, it is not against the Johnson Amendment. So churches should feel no hesitation about their tax-exempt status on that. That is not even getting close to endorsing a candidate and then asking that political or legal question. But I think, again, this pietism that Ardell speaks about is so prevalent today, but it's also so foreign to how most of the church thought for so long. It's particularly the Protestant Reformation, who evangelicalism is supposed to be the theological heirs of. It's silly. It's nonsense. It's stupid. It's acting like you can be above all of this, and that somehow by watching the world burn around you, that you're actually keeping your hands clean by not addressing the problems that your congregants are facing. Man up, shepherd your people in all of life, including here.
Amen.
Okay, Michael again in Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, has a second question for you folks. I see a lot of Christian leaders punching to the right and coddling the left, and these Christian leaders are accusing me of punching to the left and coddling the right. Then there are other Christian leaders who say we shouldn't punch or coddle, but rather look upward at Christ. How do I respond? I mean, I don't like either of the major parties, but it's clear to me that one is far more evil than the other. And Ardell, if you have any comments?
Yeah. There are plenty of people who lead the way with very loud voices, who punch right and coddle left. They are, I believe, very wrongheaded. And if I may mention a name, David French recently came out very clearly, published an article in the New York Times arguing and making the claim that he's going to vote for Kamala Harris. And with the hope that if he votes for Kamala Harris, that it'll purge the Republican Party of Trump and bring the Republican Party somehow back to Reagan Republicanism. Well, you don't win by losing, and you don't certainly purge one party of a particular individual by voting for a person who is immoral in every position that she holds. It's just a very weird, bizarre notion.
Yes.
And he's a puncher to the right, and he coddles to the left. I think he's fundamentally wrong. I think he needs to repent.
In fact, that sounds like somebody saying, you know, I don't like my Baptist pastor's eschatology, so I'm going to the Church of Satan until that pastor resigns. You know, makes no sense. Do you have any final words, Pastor Levi, because we're almost out of time?
Yeah, I would recommend, like, this is a common tactic. I would recommend reading Megan Basham's book, Shepherds for Sale.
Yes.
This is a concerted effort. These leftist organizations have talked about it in the open to try to get pastors and talking heads to punch hard to the right and coddle to the left. It earns these individuals praise from the left, and it is, I shudder to think, the judgment that will fall on some of these who will probably be found to be false shepherds. Not all of them, but some of them.
Okay.
And that's something that we should just laugh at. Jesus punched in every direction, and so should we.
Well, I hope as many of you as possible attend the conference being held by Christ Bible Church in Roseville, Minnesota, September 20th and 21st. Go to ChristBible.net, ChristBible.net, to find out more details. I want to thank you both for doing such an exquisite job today, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.